Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Claire, who came recently to the Rest and Receive workshop, a weekend workshop at the monastery. It's the very first time we've offered this retreat, and she agreed to be with us to talk about her experience of that. Welcome, Claire.
Hello, Jen.
So, Rest and Be Thankful, a retreat at the monastery. What was that like?
Well, it was quite a wonderful experience for me. So I'm rather busy in my schedule, so I couldn't come for my usual longer retreat. So I wanted to take the opportunity to come to the weekend Rest and Receive retreat.
Yeah, so that's kind of an understatement, isn't it? Busy in your life. So you have some small children that you're responsible for, as well as kind of all the things that people have, jobs and houses and cars and all those things to take care of. And so it can be tricky to get to a week-long retreat. And so you came to a shorter one.
That's right. And before I came on the retreat, conditioning was saying to me that to go to the monastery to just rest and receive, there wasn't going to be as much value to me as going for a workshop to work on myself. And so that was made it even more interesting for me to go and see what happened.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, that's very fun. If I'm understanding what you're saying, that kind of the voices saying, well, I mean, that's not going to be worth it, intrigued you even more to do it.
Okay. Oh. And before I went to the workshop, I was very busy in my job, and the last thing conditioning wanted me to do was to rest and receive. I showed up at the monastery on that Friday evening after work, and I was really struck by the experience of arriving at the monastery, and my experience was that I was just received in such kindness and escorted to the place where I was going to stay, and there was a part of me that was like, you know, I can do this all myself. I can find where I'm going to stay. And to just receive that kindness from the monastery, when I got to my hermitage, you know, I was in tears at just that place of kindness that I was experiencing that I really wanted to foster in myself.
That you were actually getting to receive it, that kindness that you've been wanting to foster in yourself. You were projecting that onto what was, as you were arriving at the monastery, and you were actually able to receive it.
That's right. So, and another piece that struck me about that workshop weekend was the spaciousness that I experienced, in that there is a schedule and activities to do. There's meditation and workshops and group time. And there's also an opportunity to take time for a walk or something that one wants to do for oneself. So that was interesting for me to have that sense of spaciousness, like saying, do I want to do this workshop, or do I want to go for a walk, for instance?
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you about that, because truly, actually, I wasn't on the property when we had this workshop, when we had the first Rest and Be Thankful retreat. I was in Africa, and I know that, so I wasn't in on the structure of it, so I'm really interested to hear a little bit about that, and that you're a veteran of coming on retreat, so you kind of know the deal. And so that's one of the things I was curious about, is kind of the differences between what sort of the normal retreat structure was and what the weekend was. So it sounds like one of the pieces for you was it really felt like there was time to make some choices and really look at how do you most want to receive in this particular moment.
Yeah, exactly. And at one period of time, I decided that what I wanted to most do was take some time for myself and be in nature. What I did was I actually made a little schedule for myself that I was going to walk from this time to this time, and then I was going to come back to my hermitage and do a little bit of stretching. And the reason that I chose to do that is, in the past, when I've been on workshops and there's a schedule that I follow exactly, that has been very supportive to me.
So
in the context of the Rest and Receive workshop, where there is some time where you can make a choice what you want to do, I found it really helpful to take to, like, make my own little schedule for that time.
Yeah, that's great. It's actually kind of high-level practice in a way, isn't it? Because you're really being invited to look and see for yourself what would best take care of you right now.
That's right. Yes.
So there was time for meditation, time for, you mentioned, walking, stretching, and then there were other activities, I think, kind of group things that were offered.
Yeah, there were group things. There were opportunities to do little creative projects.
Uh-huh.
Very low-key, and, you know, anybody could participate in a way that worked for them.
Huh?
And so that was very exciting to, you know, look at, to rest into my creativity.
Great, I love it. Yeah, it's kind of the theme of the weekend is rest into your stretching, rest into your walk, rest into your creativity, rest into your meals.
Yes. And so the gift that I got by being at the workshop was, you know, a deeper resting into myself and receiving the gifts that were offered from the nature, the beautiful surrounding of the monastery environment, the food, the meditation time, and also the opportunity to, like, receive my own heart, my own guidance, as it were.
Oh, wow, that's lovely. To receive your own heart, to receive your own guidance. Because ultimately that's what we're doing in practice, isn't it? That what the monastery is offering, what the guide offers, what retreats and workshops and the monks and all of practice offers, what we offer as Sangha to each other is simply mirroring what is already within each of us. Yeah, we lose sight of it. We forget that what we are is peace, joy, love, compassion, acceptance, and that the environment is here to help mirror that for us.
Right. So we can all, so that my experience was that I came back home to myself. And as I'm sitting here, I've got an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the opportunity that presented.
Yeah.
It seems to me that this is a workshop that would work for people who have been to the monastery before and equally people who have not been to the monastery before.
It's really
a workshop that.
Yep. And I think part of the idea behind it is exactly what you pointed at, that there are folks who are at stages in their life where it's very, very difficult to get away for a full 8 days. And so wanting to really offer people the support of being able to come to the monastery if they want to have that opportunity and to do it for a shorter period of time and to really take time out of their busy lives and, you know, receive, as you say, I mean, I couldn't have said it better, receive their hearts.
Mm-hmm. So what a gift and a blessing. Thank you.
What a gift and a blessing indeed. And as always with every retreat, a gift and a blessing for the monastery that people choose to come do it. Because that's, I know for me, you know, that's the happiest a monk can be, at least this monk can be, when people come and join and practice with us, and it's easy to project that onto the whole place, that there's just a glowing that it has when people choose to come and practice. So it really, the gratitude and the benefit goes in all directions.
Yeah, what a wonderful thing that is to hear as well, that for the monastery it's a gift to offer and to give to the retreatants who come to receive.
Oh, it absolutely is. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great pleasure. Yeah. So we have the second of those workshop weekends coming up on October 19th through 21. So I guess you would encourage people to sign up, huh?
Oh, absolutely. That's all colors. I'm imagining there'll be some lovely warm homemade soups.
Yeah.
Meditation time, group time. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend a trip to the monastery and to return again to one's heart.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great gift to give oneself for the weekend. Yeah. All right, Claire, well, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Thank you for the invitation.
Gesho. I hope we'll see you again soon. And we will, won't we, September 22nd?
At the Bridge Walk. I will be there.
Very good. A whole different kind of celebration.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to hear your voice.
And yours. Shall we sign up for one of those weekends?
Yes. Yes.
They make it sound good, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. I've been trying to wiggle that October 1 into my schedule, so we'll see what happens.
I might put it in mine, too. Good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Great. I have some announcements here.
I bet you do.
What are you going to announce?
I thought
we finished
with the retreat season. You got something else going on?
Well, we sneak one into the middle of the non-retreat season.
Uh-huh.
As you may know, which is the annual New Year's retreat with you, Sherry, December 27th through January 1st. This is going to be in Menlo Park, California.
Yes. At the beautiful Vallombrosa Center.
Yes. Our largest retreat of the year includes meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, delicious vegetarian food, free time to spend in nature on the center's spacious grounds.
And here's the best part, Michael. I don't know if it's in your notes, but there's a bathroom in every room.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. It is in the notes. Private baths attached to the private rooms.
For our Sangha, that's like, what is that? That's at least 5 minutes, right? Every room. My goodness gracious.
Wow.
Yeah. It's special. And that, you know, and then there's still all that other stuff.
Yes. 10 acres of spacious wooded grounds.
In one of the prettiest places on the planet.
Yes. Beautiful.
Going to be good.
Beautiful. Going to be great. And there's still time to sign up for the annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to celebrate the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes.
And that will be near the beautiful Golden Gate Bridge on Saturday, September 22nd. An opportunity to spend the day with Sangha celebrating.
Mm. Do a little dancing, do a little walking.
Yes.
Look at some fabulous things. Sangha Market Table is going to be there.
Oh, yes.
People are
going to
bring
that.
Treats, baked treats for us to purchase.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Let's get started.
Thanks, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet from New Hampshire.
Janet, I was thinking about you last week. I was convinced you were going to call in last week. Were you Were you on the call and you just didn't get on, or
no? I wasn't on the call.
See there? Well, I was off by a week.
So you must have put that out into the ethers, and then this week I was just going to listen, and I was like, no, I'm calling.
See there? It was a delayed kind of.
I got your message.
Ethereal communication.
Yeah, I got it. It was just a week later, so here I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on?
I just wanted to report, I loved listening to the good news updates, and I want Jen to hear this, because this is what I'm doing. I'm resting into my retirement.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't, when I first retired, resting into my retirement.
No,
this is like brand new today.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I'm calling in. But she was talking about the retreat and resting into everything, and I was like, oh yeah, resting into my retirement.
Yes. And the last time we talked, time I saw you, there was nothing restful about that retirement.
No, and it continued.
The devil.
I mean, it
devil
continued. Yeah. And so what happened today was every day for the last week, I've been out, you know, not home, consistently, and now I'm home consistently for a while. And I've been taking my dogs out on this beautiful walk out through the woods, you know, for like about an hour. And every day I've been going, and today I was there, and it just dropped in, you know, how that drops in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this is, it's okay for you to have pleasure and fun and relax. There was, what I wasn't really getting was that there was this message just going on and on from conditioning about how I just had to keep going, keep plugging, keep going, keep plugging. Do you know what I'm saying? And it was like,
mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yep. Yep.
I didn't realize how persistent it was when all of a sudden I saw clearly that I wasn't supposed to be enjoying myself.
Right.
It really wasn't okay for me to be doing, quote, nothing.
Yeah.
Like walking in the woods, totally
right.
Enjoying my walk.
And enjoying your life is definitely doing nothing, right? Because
yeah.
if somebody said, well, you know, Janet, you're not supposed to enjoy your life, you would say, that's ridiculous. I don't believe you. Go away. But if it's presented as, you know, there are all of these things that you need to do. There, I mean, you've got a to-do list longer than your leg. You need to keep going because this is where we're going and this is what you're accomplishing and it's really important and you need to do it right now before you do anything else. Because, you know, down the road when all this is done, you can relax then.
And right, and I was getting
buy
on
it and go for it.
I was getting on to that one, Sherry, especially after you and I talked.
Uh-huh.
And so the new one was everybody else is working.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
so
oh my God, everybody else is working, and I'm what am I doing? I'm just like walking my dogs. Is that okay? And it's like I was in the middle of the woods, and I just started screaming. I'm going, it's okay. I love it.
The dogs are a little nervous.
Dogs are jumping all over me. Yeah, they love it. They're like, ah.
Party.
It was a big party out there.
Yeah.
And
you know, the thing about it
yeah.
is, according to the voice, everybody, you've got to love that, everybody else is working all the time. And if you're working all the time, that means you can't enjoy your life. So they're just these vague, undefined, partial sentences that have meaning, that you're meant to get the meaning without ever really looking at what's being said and what does that actually mean and do I believe it?
Right.
And if I do believe it, how do I drop that belief?
Yeah, so I had a great day, and I plan to have a great day. When I'm not working, I'm not going to be working.
Precisely.
You know, so I ate all my meals outside in silence, just, and I was like, I'm okay. Yeah, that's how I dropped the voices, and my life changed dramatically.
Yes, that we can. We want to take that in. That's a T-shirt. That's a, you know, that's a bumper sticker. That's a tattoo. And the thing about it is, you can have your life and enjoy your life thoroughly, and there's still plenty of time to get everything done that you also want to get done.
Yeah, I believe that.
Let's get rid of this idea of work.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's code
yeah.
for you can't enjoy yourself. You need to be miserable. You're supposed to suffer.
Yeah, it's been really wanting me to suffer. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And then it always goes back to you made the wrong decision, and we're supposed to say, oh, as soon as I hear that, then I get wide awake. Wait, I know this.
Don't try that.
The wrong decision. I know where this is going.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to report in some happy news, and I also wanted to say hi because I hadn't talked to you since
See, and you got
the summer.
And I appreciate
it's already that. September.
I know. Shouldn't you be going back to work? Oh, no, we're not doing that, are we? But it is a challenge, isn't it? When the time of year rolls around and you're not doing what you're trained to do, it's kind of that, I don't know what those images are, but, you know, everything stirred up. But what you're supposed to be doing is this thing that you've always done.
Yes. And you completely told me what to do last year, and I did not do it. I did not take your guidance on it.
See,
and I'll tell
you
what you told me.
That happened to me before, Janet. That happened to me before.
This out loud for anybody who doesn't take the guidance. It will come back because the guidance is always right. And what you said to me was, change your routine. Start making some changes in your routine so that you're doing things differently so that when you stop, it won't be that big, like, everything's, what happened to my world? It's, like, upside down here.
Yeah, and so that when September rolls around or the end of August or whatever, however they're doing that these days, everything in your system isn't saying, but what you're supposed to be doing is...
Yes.
Yeah,
you
have a new rhythm in your life that just goes right through all of those old patterns.
Yes.
Good. Well,
I saw the wisdom in that just recently.
It's never too
late. Like, I should have done what she said.
Well, you know, I like to point out that's the price that we pay for being intelligent. You know, we want to have our own experience. We don't want to just take somebody else's word for it. All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Keep in touch, or, you know, I'll be sending out those wavelengths again. So
yeah, send them out. I like those.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks,
Janet. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on in your world?
Well, let's see. I'm having a hard time here today, Sherry. And
it's a rough day?
It's a rough day internally. Let's see. So the simply what's happening.
Whoa.
Wow.
What do we think that was?
I don't know. It sounded like goblins.
So it's a rough day internally.
Yes. So anger.
Oh, anger.
Right.
Say more about that.
Okay. So I've been dealing with anger for the last couple of years, and I know that I get identified with a personality type that has a problem with anger, you know, has a problem allowing it to move through. So sometimes, like, what I've done is, you know, I hit the pillow on the wall, and not in the last few months, but I've also done a lot of exercise to, you know, kind of move that.
Uh-huh.
But, so just recent months I've been dealing, it seems like it's coming up more and more, and see, I'm getting all shaky when I'm talking about it. My hunch is that it's anger / frustration. I think it has to do with self-hate beating me up for, I don't know, something like that. It seems to be related to frustration with myself, and I think there's an element of self-hate in that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so can you do a little sequence for me?
Okay.
So you're going along, and this is what happened today, right?
Well, it started...
anger, frustration?
Yes, it started yesterday, actually.
Okay. And so what, can you just kind of walk us through and this happened and that, you know, we'll process map it. We'll do a verbal process map. So
okay.
The first thing that caught your attention was?
Okay, just a second. I'm going to... I think the first thing that caught my attention, I think that perhaps the comparison, at some point there was a comparison made.
Okay.
And so you
hear a voice comparing you to somebody else?
Yes. Yes, there's a comparison. Yes, a voice is saying, well, look at, it's in a certain arena. And
so look at her, look at him, and then look at you.
Right, and then look at you, and then what
does that feel like?
It's the first step.
do you feel bad? Do you feel embarrassed, ashamed?
Bad.
Does it make you angry? Do you hate the other person?
Yeah, the first step, I think, is bad. It's like there's a sinking feeling, chest sinking down,
mm-hmm.
kind of a sinking. And then it seems that there's a then I think that the voices take what they know or what I know about my conditioned it's like what they know about my patterns, and they say, see, you know, you won't do this and you won't do that, and that's why this.
Uh-huh. So conditioning is looking for external evidence that how you are is the reason that your life is in this pathetic state that it's in.
Yeah, it's how I am and how I, it's how I am that gets me my life in this pathetic state, and like my stubbornness, my resistance, my refusal to... let life's energy flow. That's kind of what it tells me.
Uh-huh. So, which is, for all of us, I find it really interesting that none of it would be a problem if there hadn't been that comparison. Right? Otherwise, then you just are, and your life just is, and it's not a problem. But as soon as that comparison is made, then now it's set up for the rest of the, so they found the body. So now the evidence start, now they can, we can start compiling the evidence, right?
Right.
Against you as the one who committed this crime. So there, okay, now here's evidence. See that other person and see how they are? Okay, now look at you. You see the difference. Okay, now here's why there's that difference, because this is what's wrong with you, and that's what's wrong with you, and you're that way, and you always have been that way, and you always will be that way, and so therefore your life is going to always be the way it is, and it's your fault.
Right.
Does that kind of capture it?
Yeah, that captures it. But Sherry, I guess on some level, I believe it. I mean, I believe it because it's kind of true. I mean... maybe the comparison isn't true, but the other stuff is kind of true.
Okay. So can you give me a list of your three top sins that are resulting in this deplorable condition?
That lead me to this deplorable condition?
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you, Virginia? You can tell us. What's wrong with you?
It's that I procrastinate, and I don't do, I don't do the stuff that's, important, and I dissipate my energy by doing piddly stuff, which are two big ones, and I fall asleep all the time, figuratively.
Uh-huh. You go unconscious a lot.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And the result of that, if there were not this other person to compare you to, give me a couple of lines on what that other person's life is that is so far superior to yours.
Well, it's usually they're more engaged in life. They're more in touch with what they, their own self.
Okay. In other words, it's just a load of crapola.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I weigh 500 pounds and some woman walks by who is in fabulous physical condition. Mm-hmm. And the voice said, look at her, and then look at you. Well, we could say, yeah, I can see that perhaps, you know, by the world standards, she looks better than I do. I can see that. But when if there were some vague, somebody walks by and the voice says, oh, well, you know, that person is way more in touch with themselves and way more engaged with life. I mean, I'm sorry. I would want the evidence. I'd be asking for some proof there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't know that.
Right? You're right. We really don't know that. I'm really judging by what they look like, what it seems like.
Well, you're being judged by what they look like.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah, and you know what? It's true. And you know what, Sherry? This is the point that I kind of always hit, that kind of I bounce back off of. This is very familiar.
So it seems to me like we've got that oranges and baseball bats thing going, right? So I'm hearing that there are ways that you would like to be different, that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is preventing you from being through all kinds of scams that it runs.
Yes.
Yeah?
That's really exactly true, because when the scam gets run, then I abandon myself even more.
Yeah.
And
it talks you into believing it, and since you're trained to believe it, you believe it.
Right.
Yeah. So now here's the thing. Do you know, at least intellectually, that makes you exactly like every other conditioned human being on the planet?
The fact that I fall for the scams?
Yeah. The fact that the whole thing, that there is how you are, there are voices that tell you what's wrong with that you're trained to believe them and feel bad when they say it, that the system that beats you up keeps you stuck in the same patterns, you know, that's happening to every conditioned human being, I would venture to say, who's ever lived, but, of course, I don't know that, so I try to reel myself in on those wild statements. But it's certainly happening to just about everybody we've ever heard of. Okay? So you cannot truly, if you really do, even intellectually, understand that, you cannot take it personally.
Okay.
All right?
I can.
So that's step one. But the second piece of it is the really, really, really important piece of it. So okay. I think you're a big bike rider. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I wanted to learn to ride a bicycle, and I said to you, I really want to ride a bicycle, but, you know, I have all these voices that say I can't do it, and I've never really followed through on anything that I ever wanted to do, and then they tell me that if I do start riding the bicycle, I'm probably going to forget what I'm doing and ride into a ditch and break my neck. And your response to that, I'm betting, would be, well, 99% of that is just plain silly. Certainly, you can learn to ride a bike. Certainly, there's no reason that you couldn't do that. It's just a matter of learning and then practicing what you're learning.
Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Huh?
I would tell them that fitness is just a function of time. I mean, it's a function of time spent doing the activity.
Yeah. And if you pay attention, the odds are really good that you're not going to ride into a ditch and break your neck.
No.
You know, millions of people ride bicycles, and almost nobody does that.
Yeah.
So you would be able to see that what was stopping me had nothing to do with with learning the skill that I want to learn. True?
Yes. It's true. It's true. Yes.
So then, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. No, I just want to reflect that if you were afraid to ride a bike, it's true. I would tell you that it's not that hard, and that that, you know, all you need to do is try and you know, put your foot on the pedal and push. You know, I mean, it's,
right.
It's very simple, step by step. Yes.
That's exactly right.
And I would tell you, yes, you're not, there's a very, the chances are, it's very slim chance that you would hurt yourself even.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could hurt myself in the bathtub, right?
Right.
If I weren't paying attention. So the same thing is true with all of us all the time, right? So the things that you want to have be different in your life are exactly like learning to ride a bicycle.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
You just apply yourself step by step by step until you get from where you are to where you want to be. What a great title for a book. Yeah? And all of that other stuff, that conversation about who you are and how you are and what it means and what's going to happen to you and all of that is the equivalent of, I'm not going to ride that bike because I'm afraid I'm going to run off into the ditch and break my neck.
Okay. Yes, got it. Okay. And even some of the conversation is also, you know, you're too distractible. You're too easily distracted to even do the step by step. That's part of the fear of riding into the ditch.
That's exactly right. It's just a voice threatening you with what's going, you know, giving you all of the reasons that this awful thing is going to happen. In my case, it's breaking my neck running into a ditch. In your case, it's probably something like your life is never going to work.
Right.
And here are the reasons, because you're too distractible and you can't pay attention and you go unconscious and you waste your time and blah, blah, blah. And so those are all just step-by-step things that you work your way through when there's no conversation, right? So I want to, I want to paint my house, but I've been procrastinating for the last 20 years, okay? Mm-hmm. So then, you know, this is where I think awareness coaches are a great benefit, right? Mm-hmm. So I will seek support. I will get somebody who will be with me as I make the plan for doing it. I'll see all of the things that need to happen step by step by step, and then I will take one step at a time. You know, first you get your bicycle out of the garage, right? You pump up your tires, you may, all right? And so just step by step by step by step until my house is painted. Not big projects, not big long lists, and definitely no conversation about why it's not going to work. I'm just doing this one piece at a time.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sangha Market, an awareness coach, can help you with those step-by-step-by-steps.
Yes.
But the thing that we all have in common is we cannot indulge those conversations, because if we indulge those conversations, we are bound to, in quotes, fail. We don't have any choice, because we have engaged in a system that is designed to ensure our failure, and we have no ability, once we're engaged with it, to stop it.
Right. That really feels true. Because by the time the anger gets there, it's already...
Yeah, you're way down the path.
I'm way down the path. Okay.
Okay. Now, of course, this is recorded, so you get to listen to it again. And you know from listening to Janet that the best thing you can do is what I say.
Yes.
Just kidding about that one.
Yeah, no. Thank you, Sherry. You helped deconstruct this, and I get it, and I will listen to it again.
Good.
Step
by step by step by step.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
You can do this. Thanks, Virginia.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Okay, thanks, Michael. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We are also dear, aren't we, Sherry? We are also dear.
We are. And dear, do you have a little cold?
I have a little cold, yes.
I thought I heard that. You have that kind of nasally getting ready to break into, I'm not going to finish that sentence, but a little tune. Okay.
Yes.
You feeling okay, though?
Yes, When I'm muted, I take care of myself so that I sound a little better when I'm unmuted.
I got it.
Without going into too much.
Yeah, detail. I'm tracking right along. Thank you.
Let's hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Okay.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open-air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about open-air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sharon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Shree.
Well, hello.
Hi, I'm really nervous.
Okay. You'll be fine.
I think all my sub-personalities and conditioning are nervous along with center.
I see. But, you know, there are probably at least a couple of little folks in there who just think this is a hoot, and so you know they'll lend you good support.
I hope so. I mean, I've been meaning to call for a few years, but I, you know, was very nervous about it, and finally, you know, I was just like, okay, I need to call.
Exactly.
So
yeah, because it's not going to get any better waiting, is it?
No, and the waiting, it feels like, you know, like you're a guy and you're waiting for the girl that you have asked to marry you to say yes. And there's this long pause, and I'm like, okay, am I the next caller? Am I not the next caller? What's going to happen next?
That's a great image. So what's going on?
Well, I mentioned this to a family member the other day. You know, I had told her, like, in Star Wars, and when she hears the show, she'll laugh. But I was told her, you know, like there's in Star Wars 1, there's a scene where Luke Skywalker, you know, is in the spaceship and Darth Vader is like, the forces are strong with this one. And that's how I feel about the voices with me. They're very, very strong with me. I don't know if that's the same for everybody. I mean, I have some friends and I will mention this to them and they're like, what voices?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, do you not suffer at all? And they're like, no, not really. So I don't know if they don't, or it's just so deep down inside that they're not even aware.
Well,
but,
and you know, my experience is it doesn't actually have to be very deep down for people not to be aware.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware,
right.
I think. And I mean, in doing this work, and I don't have a sitting practice. I've been meaning to do that. But, you know, reading the books and becoming aware, I am much more cognizant of how strong the voices are with me, how they are constantly attacking me. Some days, actually pretty much every day, it
yeah.
feels like I'm drowning. I'm literally, I don't even know what center is. And I kind of intellectually know maybe if that's possible. But what it just occurred to me over the past 2 days is I'm trying to make the world right through conditioning.
Mm.
And that
that's
never
powerful.
Occurred to me before.
Can you say a little bit about that?
Well, I just, for instance, I was doing, I think, what you practice is what you have, one of the exercises, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I thought that occurred to me, I heard this voice or this thought came in that said, but I need to pound it into my head that I'm not beautiful and I have to accept myself in that way. And I thought, what? Because, and I thought, is that conditioning or is that center? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not center. I'm pretty sure that's a negative voice. But it just made it seem like, well, how can I make it okay that I'm not beautiful? I have to just be okay with that. And that's how it always is every single day. I have, and the caller that you had, not previously, but maybe the one prior to that, where she's talking about, you mentioned the 500-pound woman and this and that. That's kind of the world that I live in where, you know, when I look in the mirror, I'm thinking, wow, I actually think I look pretty nice. And then I'll go out into the world and I'm like, okay, well, she's skinnier, she's taller, she's got the supermodel looks, and how am I going to even match up to that? How do I compare? Or this one has a degree from Harvard or an MBA from somewhere. How am I going to, it took longer to get through school. Or it's constant comparison.
You know the really bad part, Ben? The media wants to drag out the one who has done all of that. She looks like a supermodel and she has an advanced degree from Harvard.
Oh, that kills it. And she's really nice.
From a wealthy family.
Yeah.
And devotes herself to service.
Yeah. And she's genuinely nice, too. That's the killer part. I'm like, oh, well, I'm just...
And then
what
does that make us that we want to kill her?
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. And it's hard for me. And I, you know, was seeing a therapist a while ago, and she finally looked at me, and she said, you know, the thought occurred to me is, when will you stop suffering? When are you going to allow yourself to stop suffering? And I said, I don't know. I don't. I feel sometimes that things have to get so bad, like I'd have to pretty much ruin my reputation with every single person I know for me to wake up and snap out of it. So I don't know when I'm going to start living from center. It's really, really hard.
Well, yeah. Now, let's get a reality check. When did all this stuff start occurring to you?
You mean about the voices, when I started being aware of the voices?
Yeah, and kind of waking up and, you know, all of that sort of stuff.
I think it's been slowly occurring to me over the past 10 years. I mean, I was given your book, That Which You Are Seeking Is Causing You to Seek, maybe 15 years ago, and I read it, or tried to read it, and it made no sense to me whatsoever, and I'm like, okay, this is bunkum. And then I went back to it, you know, maybe 8 years after I got it, and it just started making more sense.
Yep.
And then I started buying all the books and listening and, you know, doing and listening to other, you know, Zen Buddhist stuff and, you know, various things. And it started clicking, and I realized, you know, when my doctor once asked me years ago, are you under a lot of stress that you get daily migraines? I said, no, not really. And now I know partly why I get the migraines is because the instant I get tension, the instant I start thinking negative thoughts, I can feel it in my body.
Yeah.
And once I've already hit that point, I'm like, there's no medication, nothing works. I just have to sit through it.
Well, you know, that is one of the points that arose in conscious awareness for me when you were talking about asking your friends, you know, do you not hear those voices? Do you not suffer? An awful lot of people don't because, let's face it, I'm going to project that you are fairly privileged. I'm really privileged. A lot of the people we know are really privileged, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a good life. You know, we're
I'm
not,
very lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not wondering where our next meal is going to come from. Our lives work, and as long as a person stays in that realm, and as long as you know, as long as they don't challenge the voices, as long as they pretty much do what they're told, feel bad when they're supposed to feel bad and guilty when they're supposed to feel guilty and driven when they, you know, they've got their nice long to-do list and they're anxious but, you know, not medicated necessary and that sort of thing, then it's pretty stable. People are listening to voices that are predicting that, you know, out there in just a little while, things are going to come together, and it's all going to work. And you're right around the corner. You're going to have it, and it's going to, you know, all of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's when something goes wrong that it all unravels for people. And that's when most folks become aware of this system that's operating them. So it sounds like, you know, part of that for you is the migraines. That, you know, you've got something going on that you really can't, you can't do anything about. You have no control over it, right? So
no, I mean, I think the correlation with the migraines only came in the past couple of years. But before that, I went through some, you know, personal mental, you know, emotional stuff with relationships and things. And
yep.
I think that's what started the initial search.
Yep,
so.
Yep. It's not working. I'm doing all of the things that
yeah.
I'm supposed to do for my life to work, and it's not working.
Yeah.
That's when we start questioning the wisdom of that symptom, of that system, because it's what's telling you what to do to make your life work, and it's not working. And the longer we go on, the more obvious it is that it's not working. So, you know, when you're in your 20s, there's what the future looks like. In your 30s, there's what the future, in your 40s,
yeah.
But, you know, and whatever it is for the person, you hit a point in life where you, if you're lucky, you kind of look around and it occurs to you that maybe there's something more. Maybe there's another way.
Yeah.
And once a person hits that point, that's when egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, really kicks in. Because now you are becoming, what would the word be? You're becoming unruly. Right, you're not a compliant prisoner anymore. You're not just going along, generating the amount of life force that system needs to live on, and so
yeah.
it starts cracking down on you, and the voices get louder and more critical, and of course you're becoming more aware, so you're able to hear them more clearly, and you know we talk about that as going farther and faring worse, right? You're practicing more and things are looking more dismal all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, you know, any plan I had for my 20s and 30s my future did not look like anything I planned it to be.
Right.
And, you know, the other caller mentioned procrastination, and I have that as well. And so in reading your book, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, and then what you practice, what you have. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm trying not to live from conditioning, but I can't commit to living from center, so I keep, you know, ping-ponging between the two,
that's
and
right.
It just drives me crazy.
That's right. But here, I would just offer this to you as hopefully a comfort. Everybody's where you are. Okay? That's the way it goes. And the thing about it is, again, the system is what's presenting an idea that it should be different.
Yeah.
Right? So you are, in our lingo, waking up. That's what's happening. You're becoming more and more aware every day. You see more and more and more every day. Now, if part of the program that you have said, this is great, you know, every day you're becoming more aware, every day you're seeing more clearly how that system has kept you in bondage and all of the subtleties of how those conversations and the sensations in your body, and this is great. But no, we're not trained in that way. And so, in fact, it works really to that system's advantage to convince you that awareness is difficult and painful. The more aware you become, the worse things are. So what you should really do is strive to be less aware, not more aware.
Yes.
Yeah, but what we, you know, around this practice, and I hope now that you've called in, you'll spend more time in conversation with this practice, because the approach that I like and that I encourage other people to is to get on the side of awareness, get on the side of life, and let it be fun. Okay, so it's kind of like I hate to always rely on sports analogies, but you know, it is like something like a tennis match, you know. And so, you know, you just get completely scammed by the voices. And, you know, you fall into that pit. And then you come to and you look around and you realize what happens. And, you know, you can just laugh and say, okay, you got me on that one. But by God, you won't get me on that one again. And
so when
off we go.
when do you accept that the past was never what you wanted it to be? Like, you know, you never achieved your dreams or your goals in the time frame you wanted to, and when you look around, it seems everyone else did it, just not you.
Right. Well, I mean, you're looking and talking through the system, right?
Right.
Because let me paint another picture of the American dream, okay?
Okay.
So you go to school, you get your great education, you get your great job, you go to that job and actually wind up hating it, right, and spend a lot of your time trying to find a job that you actually like and enjoy, but you know that you have to just keep going to that job because now you're so massively in debt. Yes, you have the house you always wanted, but it's costing you a fortune. Have you noticed what happened to the real estate market recently? Okay, and you've got all of this money that you've been saving for the future, but then the economy tanked and it kind of went south. And you've got these kids who are now teenagers, and you know you're starting to look at them and wonder if you actually like them. Okay? Your parents are getting old, and you have to take care of them, and what are you going to do about that? Okay? And now what's out there as the thing to hope for is retirement. So then if you have enough money and if you can afford your health insurance and if those kids ever get jobs and move out of the house, then you're going to be able to do some of the things that you want to do, which turn out to be not as interesting or exciting as you had hoped, and then you die.
Oh, gosh.
Was that not uplifting?
Yeah, that doesn't sound brave.
Yeah, but do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful picture, but in fact, almost nobody's living it. Right? So perhaps you're actually one of the fortunate ones who is going to have a chance to see through that imaginary reality in time to actually have a life that you would choose.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that's a life being fully awake and aware, living in conscious, compassionate awareness, and enjoying every moment, not dependent at all upon circumstances.
And a sitting practice can definitely help with that foundation,
yes,
right?
Yes, it can. As can quiet walks in beautiful places. Yeah. And,
Thank you.
I'm sure you know that there's a retreat that goes with that There's Nothing Wrong With You book, right?
I do. There was, I think the December one was full, and I'm like, okay, I need to manage to take time off of work, save up, and schedule everything to maybe take it in 2013. Yeah.
Good. And so we're just finishing, we're not finishing, we're actually just getting started on the last one for this year, but there will be a schedule next year, and yes, you might avail yourself of that. Because
and I can,
go ahead.
And I can call next week to touch base and ask for more guidance?
Absolutely. You can call in as often as you like and, go on the schedule. There are all kinds of at-home retreats and reflective listening buddies and, just lots and lots and lots of supports, podcasts of these radio shows and things that can help us to get our attention on a life that is much pleasant than the world that the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning want to present for us and want to keep us living in.
And I think you said once that if this practice was easy, everyone would be doing it. So.
That's exactly right. But you know something? Truly, this is the God's truth, and one day, if you stick with it, one day you'll know this. It is far easier than living without it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, and especially, you are waking up, and to try to then be unconscious and live in that nightmare world of the voices in your head, it's just, that's what's really hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so
thank
you're
you
gonna
so
stay
much.
In touch now. You got the you got the hang of it.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have an important message here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Welcome back to Open Air. We have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Isabel calling from San Francisco.
Well, hello, Isabel. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great. What have you been up to?
Experiencing a lot of resistance.
Resistance. That's an exciting topic. Are you in an email class by that name by any chance?
I am, and I have had so much resistance that I haven't even done the first assignment, which is like...
Yikes!
I know. That has never happened to me before.
Ooh, you must be really threatening egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. What are you doing to that friend of yours?
Yeah, just working towards having more freedom.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Wow. So, resistance.
Yes.
Is there more?
Well, what I can see is that like once I fall behind and then I say, okay, I'll do it. I'll catch up, you know, on Saturday or something when I have some time, I promise, you know, the good intentions. And then it's, you know, oh, I don't want to do that right now. And then it comes into something along the lines of, I'm not going to do it so that I can avoid the beating, which is very sneaky because it seems like a kind thing because I really don't want a beating.
Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, it's got you on both sides, right? It's the squeeze is on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so is there anybody who wants to get past the resistance?
You know, that's a really good question. And I could see a little bit today. That's where, like, I'm honestly a little unclear, kind of around who is, you know, me or, you know, what, I mean, it's hard to, you know, use the words, but, like, what I really want without that being conditioning, like, yeah, that's such a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
So, in other words, I'm going to just step right out here on that limb and project that you are pretty solidly identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yeah, it's.
I'm shocked, actually, that you called in.
Oh, it was difficult.
I bet it was.
It was,
yeah.
But I think, you know, that I've made an external commitment and I've put it out there verbally with something like, you know, there was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do this. And I could also see that there was something like, I'm not supposed to talk about it. I should be ashamed. And I can see that's part of how that whole system gets held in place.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, Isabel, that I think it would be helpful, and you can let me know, okay, should you decide to do it. I just mentioned this to somebody recently. We used to have a monk who did this practice that was really kind of changed all of us. Because what he would do, so there's the voice saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do the class. I don't want to do that. And he would say, okay, and then what will happen after that? And then what will happen after that? And then what will happen after that? So, if I listen to, you know, I don't want to meditate. You know, I don't want to meditate. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do that. Or you know, I don't want to have to pay attention. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I don't like it. I don't like to do that. Okay, good. And then what's going to happen next? What's going to happen as a result of that? So I don't want to do the class, so I'm going to go with resistance. And then what's going to happen next? And just see mm-hmm. if you can take yourself through those steps of what it's going to be like when your life is in a place where you don't get to do what you want to do. You only mm-hmm. get to do, you're only allowed to do what that system tells you can do. Now, right now, you know, you can believe, well, yeah, that, you know, it's Saturday and I don't want to do any more. Yeah, okay, I don't want to do it. That makes sense. That feels like it's taking care of me. But then, say you want to be able to pay attention, but you're not allowed to do that. You know, you need to meditate. God forbid something has happened. You broke your leg or something, you know, and you're immobile. And you want to be able to, but you're not allowed to. And the line has been crossed where you get to have a choice about it.
Mm.
You see? So if I were going to follow that through, now, you know, it's 10 years from now, and that system is completely in control of my life. It tells me what to do, what I can do, what I can't do, how to feel all the time. Now, 10 years after that, what's that like? I think it's really important that we realize that system that we get identified with and seems like it's taking care of us actually hates us, right? Which we intellectually, mm-hmm. we know. I mean, as soon as we cross it and listen to the way it speaks to us and the way it threatens us, you know, all of that tells you how ugly you are and how your life is never going to work and what a loser you are, always have been, always will be. You know, to agree to turn our lives over to a system that overtly biases us is a very mm-hmm. Scary thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I do. And I had some glimpses just yesterday. I was like, so if I don't do the female class, well, a month from now, how am I going to feel? And I could tell that there would be constant, like, nagging regret. And, you know, there'd be this piece of content there that it could get me with.
That's right. And the thing is, of course, the interesting part of it is that the subject matter of the class is resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to reveal the very system that has you in its claws.
Yeah.
So there it has you in its claws. It won't let you do the thing that would free you from its claws. And then part of keeping you in its claws is torturing you because you didn't do the thing that would have freed you.
Man, yeah, the word abuse comes up to me when I hear that, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. So that's why I started out asking, is there anybody there? Because I know you're a spiritual kind of a person. And and that resistance, you know, I don't want to do it. It's Saturday, I don't want to do it. Well, now what about the heart? What about the person who wants to wake up and end suffering? What about somebody who wants to live from center? What happens to that person when that resistance is there protecting itself against the heart opening?
You know what I can really see when you said that? I got in touch with, like, it feels like a really young part of me who is actually really tired of the beatings.
Oh.
And, you know, and it's like in some way avoiding this seems like a way to avoid the beating. But as I say that, I can see that that's not the solution.
No, it's not. Because what happens, of course, is what's actually happening is that that young person is left in a place to be beaten for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't save her. And that's another, Isabel, that's another really important point in this. You, the person I'm talking to now, you don't get the beatings. She does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's easy for us, you know, to, I mean, I don't get a beating. You know, it's a four-year-old. So, you know, I make decisions here in collusion with self-hate. And, you know, I don't really pay a price. That little kid's getting the beating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I can see it's like my responsibility to step up.
Yeah, and save her.
Yeah.
It's that old, we'll do for the love of others what we wouldn't be willing to do for ourselves. And when you realize that it's a little kid who's taking the brunt of all that, it's like, oh, okay. All right, time to step in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, are we going to see you at the bridge walk?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well,
you got
your work cut out for you, right?
I do, and I will call back in 6 weeks with an update.
Excellent. You can even call back sooner if you have news to report sooner than that.
Okay. That's
or
helpful.
if it drops into my awareness at the bridge walk, I might just sneak up and ask you. So better be ready.
Okay. Yep. That's good incentive.
Good.
All right.
Thanks, Isabel.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Humer. What a blessing. That was great, Sherry.
Yeah, it was good. Good people, good times. All right.
Yeah.
Well, take care of that schnoz, huh?
I will do that.
Right. Talk to you next week.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.